Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us shortly. And we're going to talk just one trade and one trade only. Odell, but no, I'm just kidding. We are going to talk about that. We'll lead with that, of course, because that's the hot topic today. It's tempting to get, you know, to get a caliber of player like that. There's a lot to weigh into it. We will do that. On this show, though, we are going to preview the Vikings' needs for the upcoming draft. Now, next week, before the draft, we are going to do a mock draft. So keep note with that. We'll cover some other topics as well on the show. But keep a look for that early next week. The draft is Thursday. Here we are, 8 days away. It's going to be interesting too with this internet thing, and if some, you know, are the Patriots, like, you know, able to like get Russia to hack stuff? Like, it's going to be interesting here. But yeah, on this year draft show, we are going to talk offense and defensive needs. Obviously, we're pretty good on kicker and punter. So we should be okay there. But yeah, we're going to go over some of the needs and also some potential scenarios, whether that be going up in the draft, whether that be taking one of the first round picks and moving back, which seems to be a popular, you know, suggestion, or, you know, some other stuff like the waves of these players. There's going to be some runs at some of these positions, especially corner, wide receiver, and offensive tackle. There is going to be a run. Which run do you want to get into? Which run can you wait a little bit and get something, you know, in the second, third, or fourth? So we're going to talk shop, basically. We're going to talk shop, just a variety of stuff here. So we're going to get into this in just a moment. Like I said, we will lead with what bleeds, which is obviously OD. I was about to say something completely. I guess I'm still on that RZA Primo battle, DJ Premier battle. I was about to say old dirty. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. However, to listen to this show, you don't have to just go to Blog Talk, download the show there, listen to it on the browser. You don't have to do that. You can find it all across the board. To find this Living in Loserville podcast under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, you can find it at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or even TuneIn to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great ad over there, sponsor betnow.eu with the promo code TGT. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you've cut the cord and you're not quite happy, obviously a lot of people home, a lot of people watching TV, not just reading books, right? That's what we all wish we were doing. But AT&T TV Now, it's live streaming cable. It's not just an ad, a sponsorship, but, you know, I actually use it myself. You do have a 7-day free trial. There's not going to be an annual contract, no annual contract to lock you down. The plans start as low as $60, but I got an email saying it's actually $55 right now, or it is going to be here for a while. They have the cloud DVR. You can stream it anywhere. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. Now, there are parts of the country, parts of the state here in Minnesota, that the internet connection is just not all that good. It's one thing to watch an archive show on Netflix or Amazon. That's different. But when you're tuning into a live broadcast, a live streaming cable, it's different. They do have AT&T TV. That's going to be your normal cable platform. It's a growing platform. It's not everywhere. It is here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, other parts of the country as well. other parts, maybe in the Midwest, St. Louis. It's called AT&T TV Now. Just Google it. Put your area code in there, see if it's available. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now live streaming cable. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and first of all, just see how the heck he's doing. Have you been getting all your checks? Are we all up to date with the checks?
All good on the checks. Another fine day in quarantine here. You know, it's getting to be, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air about what this draft's going to look like. And you know, mentioned that there's going to be a lot of fireworks as far as trades and stuff, just because you got bored GMs probably sitting around at home coming up with ideas. We've already seen, like you said, maybe a possible three team trade, which you never see in the NFL. So I'm looking for a lot of that. It's either going to go one way or the other. Like, it's either going to go a really busy and a lot of fireworks in the draft, or it's just going to be kind of a ho-hum one. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see how this works down. I didn't even get to the angle of a Belichick and the Russian hackers getting involved. And, you know, anything that goes wrong in that draft is going to go back to Belichick. Everybody's going to think 100%. That they had something to do with it. So, you know, I'd be on my best behavior if I was them, because everything's going to
– taking it out on the rest of the league.
Right, because everything's going to just land at his feet. So hopefully it goes smoothly. I know they're going to do a dry run to make sure all the connections are good and all that. But you know the internet. Things can happen. They always do. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, man. It may be, like you said, the fireworks I could see. But also, I just want to get my pick in, man. Did it go through? It may be some of that stuff, too. It'll be really interesting to see this setup and everything like that. I am glad Goodell was talked down from a couple weeks ago. Well, when he sent out that email saying, basically, don't you go on TV and rip me for doing the free agency or the draft and all that type of shit. But at least they've come down on not having the players all in one room. You know, that's nice that they got that. But, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And, you know, ODB, and not that ODB, Odell Beckham, you know, we hear a trade for a second and a fourth, or a second and a fifth, or, you know, one of them's this year, one of them's next year. There's a lot that goes into this. We did fleece the Bills, and we talked about this just a moment ago. Maybe some of that fleecing material that we stockpiled, speaking of all the stockpile equipment and whatnot and tests over the country and all over the world, but we got some goodies for Diggs. You know, too bad it had to go. But, do you, because you got a little extra stuff, and we already had a fair amount of picks, do you just get rid of a couple of those assets for a sure thing on the field? Like, between the lines, I should say, because even on the side of the field, even in the locker room, you just don't know. What are your thoughts when you hear this? You know, whatever it is, it's speculation, whether it's true or not or whatever, but what's your first knee-jerk decision? And also, maybe when you put a little bit more thought, we have gotten a little bit more detail that we'll talk about even with this contract that makes it an intriguing offer no matter what people think of it.
It's intriguing. I love it, man. I think we should just refer to, no disrespect to Old Dirty Bastard, but I think we should just refer to Odell Beckham Jr. going forward on this show as ODB, because it's kind of what he is. It's pretty close. Knee-jerk thought was no way. Too much trouble. Hasn't worked out well other places besides a couple seasons in New York. Seems like, you know, Stefanski goes into Cleveland and now he wants to move Beckham. It just doesn't seem like he can hold it together for a year. Now, on the flip side of that, as we talked about, let's say he does, he can hold it together for a season and play at a top notch. I mean, that's a really great asset. Now, what do we give up? That's a different story. Second round pick to me, you know, I'm a little stingy. I feel like that might be a little too much to give, but like you said, you get a good year of production out of it. Might be worth it. I think you want to probably draft behind him and don't expect too much out of him. But if you choose a bonus chip, I think that'd be a great deal. But so I guess looking into it long term, it all depends on ODB. I mean, can he be a productive player and teammate for a season or more. The betting money, I guess, has to be no on that, just from past history. But, you know, you trade one receiver who, you know, got a little lippy, and then you're bringing another one that's going to be even more. And not the strongest personality at quarterback with Kirk Cousins. It could be a bad mix there. But, I mean, let's say you get 10 good games out of him, Chris. Is that worth it? Maybe you get a playoff run out of him. It's a big coin flip. So I guess to answer your question concisely, I would say first reaction was no way. Second reaction, I guess, is okay, but for what? You know, what do we have to pay, and is it worth it? You mentioned some stuff about the cap, which kind of brightened my eyes up a little bit about it. But still, you know, if I guess best case scenario, you got to think that, or you got to hope that you can get one good season out of them.
Yeah, I mean, and we have seen plenty of, you know, players in all leagues actually have that I'm on my best behavior, hey, I'm winning again thing going on. It's a gamble. There's just no way around it. It is a gamble. It could really pay off because you're given, let's just say, a second-round pick. You're given a second-round pick where you know you're going to get production, even in the last few seasons where it hasn't been the first three seasons. It's been pretty, you know, it's still productive. You know what I mean? Whereas we don't know if a second-round pick wide receiver could step in and get you to 1,000 yards. So that there's not a ton of those that go around. Now, do we, for instance, need another 1,000-yard receiver? Not necessarily, but that goes on the offensive line as well. So we'll get into that as well. But, yeah, he is a proven commodity in the league. It's a perfect fit because he loves going deep. If you send him deep, people are going to follow. Cousins' game is a deep ball crazy, puts it right on there, and Beckham can catch it with one hand usually. So, you know, to not have to develop anybody and still, by the way, be able to get a pick within the first three rounds for wide receiver in the same breath potentially, I'm on the fence. It has me on the fence. I was right away on the fence. Like I said, proven a commodity between the lines, but on the sidelines, when he's, you know, when the kicker's trying to warm up and he's having a relationship beef with the freaking net that the kicker, you know, kicks into, like, I'm a little skeptical there. You brought up Cousins in that. I think a more vocal guy actually may be worse with a guy like, well, with wide receivers in general, unless you're Brady or Breeze. Most people are like, yeah, great. Just throw the ball, man. You know what I mean? But that's an interesting take there. Yeah, man. I'm not going to rip them if they don't do it. But I will be happy because, you know, after 2020, there's no dead cap at all. We're not going to have them even 3 or 5 or 7 million just sitting there going, oh, that was that fucking trade. Yeah, we're going to limit ourselves for the next 3 years. If he has a pretty good season, and like I said, we wouldn't have to rely on him to be the number one with the bullet, and he's got to get all the targets because we got, you know, some guys emerging like Irv Smith, but also we got Thielen, who's a legit number one. So it's just a perfect fit with the Diggs loss, you know what I mean? But a lot of this, like I said earlier, just comes back to that wide receiver position. To the offensive line, too, because that's great if you got two guys. We had two studs, but the go-up-and-get-it type guy, is he 6'3", 6'4", 220? No, but he sure plays like it in the air. And he just has the timing. He's got, I don't know what his vertical is, but like I said, he's just got a knack for those catches. And if Cousins can just say, you know, I'm going to put it over your right shoulder and you can just one-hand it, it makes things a lot easier. So it's a huge gamble, man. It is. But I'm on the fence, but I'm leaning towards ODB in the Brooklyn Zoo. I am leaning that way. I haven't fallen, so it's not like my shoe's stuck on the fence and I'm just hanging by my shoe by a thread. So I'm just leaning. I'm leaning towards doing the trade, but you know, that could mean, you know, we could still get Trent Williams and do that. I know the money on that gets a little loose, but people got to remember, you know, this year's different. Next year loosens up a little bit. But the coming years, 2-3 years from now, go look at what, how much room we got under the cap. Now, of course, you're going to have to extend some folks, but beyond Delvin, how many folks do we have to extend that are going to be up for it? Not that many, actually, at all, especially when, you know, two of them that we extended a couple years ago are no longer here, you know. So, and even, you know, the fact that we got rid of Diggs tells you we already had money extended around that level. So we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm leaning towards doing it. But, man, it is a gamble. It is a freaking gamble. Okay. You know, before even we get into needs, which kind of plays it there, we've both been kind of in favor of trading one of those first-round picks. You want to break down the thought process behind that? And a lot of people just assume it'd be the 25th. It could be the 22nd. I guess that's more of a day of let's see who's there. A lot of the popular stuff is to trade the 25 so we get the highest pick we could possibly get. But like I said, something may fall. You look at a need of a team and they go, well, they're not going to draft him. So we'll just move the 22nd, whatever. Maybe that would be a deal breaker with somebody, but, it just seems to be the popular thing to drop one of them, right?
Well, yeah, at least one of them. You know, I guess looking at the draft, and I've had plenty of time to do it, you're going to see a lot of the same quality of player, I think, between maybe pick 25 and pick 45, something like that. And with the amount of needs that we do have, we are going into this draft with needs and not wants, which is hasn't happened here for a while, but we have some glaring ones, and you're going to need to get, I think, as many players as you can within a certain, you know, level of reasonability, I think. And you're going to need to get multiple positions. And so if you can move one, like a team like Indianapolis, of course, like they're going to want to get up and get a quarterback, and somebody might fall to 22. What Indianapolis has is pick 2 and pick 12 in the second round, as well as pick 11, I think, in the third round. It'd be a prime candidate to get up and get their quarterback, either it's Hebert or whoever it is that falls down there. I know Jalen Hurts has been really rising fast on a lot of draft boards, and a lot of people think that quarterbacks are going to go a lot faster than the normal. Nonetheless, a team like Indianapolis that might want to get involved in that run or of quarterbacks might want to come up and get 22 or 25, and maybe you get 2 second-rounders out of there, which really allows you some flexibility in that second round. Plus, you're right at the top of that second round, which everybody knows is that is prime real estate in the draft, because you get to sleep that night and you get a quick pick the next day and kind of redo your board and be able to get a quick pick. It's almost like another first round as far as that's concerned. So you get a lot of flexibility with it. The second thing, you might not get, you know, what's quote-unquote a premier player because you're giving up the first round pick. But, I mean, a team like Cincinnati, I mean, they've got the number one pick in all the rounds. Might be willing to give up, you know, third round number one pick and maybe second round number one pick for maybe 25 or 22. You could possibly do draft day trades to get out of that scenario or get into that scenario. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to move. I guess, you know, I'm not really – I'd like to get out of the first round just because I see so much depth in the draft at the positions that you need. Now, you might not get involved in the tackle run, which we think might be in that first round. But, you know, that second tier of tackles is probably – there's a starter or two in there. So you can fill your needs, get more picks, and maybe move – have some flexibility to move around and come up and get a guy maybe in the third or the fourth that you think might not last to where you are. So – it's a popular opinion. I was kind of on it maybe last week, and I thought, well, you know, it's always that trade-off. Do you want to go and grab, you know, the elite, quote-unquote, in a certain position and stick in the first round, or do you want to, you know, take a lot of chances and get a lot of, you know, seats at the table to try to find a guy that'll start and play well for you? And I guess I'm with the latter there is accumulate the picks, you know, put them through camp, let them compete, and see where you stand.
Yeah, and honestly, the trading both of them, I'm not in favor of just right away. I do kind of, like I said, I do want to linger at that 27th or 22nd pick and see, because obviously a lot of this stuff happens anyway, right? I mean, during the time that you have, that you're up on the clock, assuming that we don't turn it in late, a la, at least we got a good player, a great player, Kevin Williams. But, you know, if something's there, you know, if something's there, you're probably going to take it and move the 25th. But, or even, like I said, trading them both. Well, I'd really like, I think before you go trading both and just going down that path, like, yeah, this is what we got to do. Although I'm not against it because of the points you just laid out, especially the second and third rounds, the depth there. I'm not sure about we'll find a starter next year on a tackle after the first round or whatever. But like you said, starters are starters. So it could be two, it could be three. But hey, years, I mean, but still it's a damn starter and you drafted him. And you're going to have him on a rookie contract. And shit, a second and third round pick is really good for a rookie contract, right? But I think as far as trading both of them, it would just really have to be, okay, what's there and what's happened and what's transpired and who's traded up and someone moved back down. And maybe we don't have to move back down as far as we wanted to. Let's look at the other scenario, jumping up 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 spots. What are your thoughts there? Because you really have to give to get. It almost feels like you got to give more. Well, especially if you're going to get into the top 10, that what that takes. But even a handful of picks, since we have this extra picks, at least we have them right now, theoretically we have them right now, are there many players at the corner or at tackle that you go and say, let's go get that pick at 12? Are we thinking that we may do that because – we need a cornerback so bad, would it be worth it because we need a cornerback so bad?
I mean, it really depends on if I see them do that, something like that, it's going to show me that they really like this guy that they moved up for. I mean, they've got a lot of capital. In order to do something like that, that means that they've really earmarked this player as somebody that they really want. Maybe someone like a C.J. Henderson cornerback out of Florida could come in and maybe start on that other side right away. So I think that's probably what would motivate them to do something, to see a day one starter in a position of need, maybe a tackle that they really like, maybe somebody like Wirfs, if he can go down that low, which I don't think he will, but you never know. And so what would show me, I guess, I wouldn't be opposed to it depending on what they paid, and it would be a pretty penny to get up, I think, into 12 or 10 to get somebody like that. But it would really show me that this is somebody they, you know, that they really like and they're really confident in to move up those spots. I mean, what else could you really take from them doing something like that? First of all, it's not really a move that you see Spielman make often. And so there's got to be someone like a can't miss guy that they're just 100% confident of to go up and do that. I mean, that's the only way I would be tempted to do something like that. Let's say you really like Becton, or you really like Wirfs. Or maybe a receiver that you really like. Maybe you really like T. Higgins or something, which would probably be there at 25. But let's say you really like somebody and there's just no other player in the draft that really scratches that itch. I think that's what you got to do. But the cost of that, Chris, is astronomical to move up maybe
really
10
is.
Spots. I mean, you're going to give up maybe a couple seconds, maybe some future, maybe a future first. I mean, really expensive when you get up into those – higher numbers, and I think you're sitting pretty good where you are as far as getting what you need. So, I mean, that's what I would see from it. I don't know your thoughts on it, but they would have to really like somebody.
Well, and I kind of went over some of the thought process of it, but I think, one, like you said, we'd have to be in love with them, like they've already put them in their will type stuff, and I think it'd have to be a corner. I'd be disappointed if we went up there for a wide receiver, to be honest with you. Well, I guess I can't say disappointed totally because, you know, a lot of this is speculation. Well, who did we actually get? But I'd say it'd probably be a corner. And, you know, I do trust Zimmer. Like you said, though, there's that website that shows you the whole bracket of what you got to do to get up in the top 10. And it is a whole lot, man. I, I don't think we'll do it, but this is what I guess to finish my thought, and I forgot I was going to say this, is that would really tell me they're trying to win right now. The rebuild, nah, right now, because if they're going to give assets, that means they want to win. I mean, everybody wants to win next year or whatnot, but that really would tell me, okay, they really are still all the way 100% in on 2020, which right now we don't know if they are 100%, and I think they're going to play it by ear. I also think that the cornerback position defensively, which we'll get into in a second, just the amount of free agents that could just be in and be a good starter, just there's just so many of them. So, you know, that whole win now thing, we're still going to have to figure out if this is a rebuild or not. But if we can get through this and it isn't a full rebuild, man, I like our team for the next few years. You know what I mean? Because we did get young enough. Our cap clears up, yada, yada, yada. Now, like we mentioned, there's going to be some runs. And it just stands out, the corner, the wide receiver, and especially offensive tackle. Corner just seems like that would be the run you'd want to jump into if you're in that moment where you're looking at it and there's already been, let's say, two corners or maybe even three at least by that, let's say, by the time you get there, then you look and you go, man, if we miss here, especially if we've moved our 25th pick, if we miss here, fuck, dude, they could run. It matters where we went in the second round to move our 25th, of course. But corner stands out as a run I think we need to get into before it happens. And I'm not going to say depletes it, but depletes a guy that could start next year. And I think that's what could happen. Wide receiver, I'm not worried about the runs. One, because we do have Thielen. Another, because we have Irv Smith, you know, coming up a little bit. He'll grab 10, 15, 20 more balls, I'd say fairly easily this year. And I just think that the long depth of a role player that can go deep and can make a good play on the ball, he's a top five play on the ball wide receiver in the draft or whatever. So I think that either tackle or cornerback, you know, stand out over wide receiver. But you got to figure one of those three, or all those three, are there's going to be a run in that first round and leading into the second one where you're just like, should we jump? Should we jump? Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a great point. I mean, we were just mentioned, why would you move up? And maybe to leapfrog a run, you know, maybe you start to see something creeping in where you might lose, you know, four of the five or all five of the five top corners. And you want to just say, okay, well, we'll just go up and beat it and get the guy that we want. And not worry about a run at that position, because I think that is when that run starts, you better be in it or your neck. I mean, there's guys there, but they're not going to be the same quality of guys that you could get in that run. And, you know, also there's, you mentioned offensive tackle. You mentioned the run on corners and also run on wide receivers. There's going to be a run on guards too. It's just going to be a little bit later. And one way to tell if we're going to win now or win later is how they address that offensive line. I mean, if you want to win now, you better address that and address it fast. And also address it with quality players. And so at guard's going to probably be, I'd say, in the late second, early third, where that run starts to go, maybe a little bit sooner than that. And there's some good guards out there, and you got to get in that mix because we need at least one, maybe two guards. And you want to get in that tackle run too. But, you know, prioritizing the runs and which ones you want to be in, I think you're right about the cornerback run. You've got to get in that. You cannot wait on that one. I think we've lost in a couple drafts, we've lost some guys waiting to see if the run stops, and it didn't. I think when we took Mike Hughes, there's a run on guards, and they went, and then we got left, okay, well, we'll take the corner. I mean, I think that's how that went down. But, yeah, and the receiver thing, too. I mean, now ODB comes in the mix. You can look at differently on where you're at with wide receiver in that position. Right. I still think you take one, but maybe not as high. And you don't really need to take one that high. I mean, I've been watching so much tape on wide receivers, man, and everybody said such a deep draft, and you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you start to look at that spot in this draft and the players that are available. I mean, there's 10, 12 of them.
I was going to say, you look at the top 15, and it's like, wow. And then even after that role player, like going down that line, what you said about, let's say we do have ODB Jr. on the squad, well, then you can just get a perfect fit role player, and I'd be plenty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys there too, and I'd like to get a big go up and get him, kid. And there's like, there's, I mean, we'll talk about this later in the mock draft show, but there's a few guys that are probably not going to be first, second, third round, maybe getting the fourth round type of guys that are just as talented as some of these guys I see in the first round. Maybe not just as talented, but right up there. A few come to mind, but we'll save that for the next show. But yeah, I mean, I think you get an opportunity maybe to beat a run with the flexibility you have and being able to trade some of these parts, where I think if you can trade away a first rounder, get some more picks, where let's say you want to get up to, you know, let's say you get rid of 22, you spend 25, and you got to get back up because, oh crap, here's the run on something that you like. Maybe get to 27, 28, 29. You know, you can maybe package a, you know, a couple seconds and a third and still have a second. So I think you really need to maybe move one of those picks to just give yourself the ability to beat a run or two later in the draft.
Yeah, and we're going to get into some of that later in this one too, because the mock draft is going to be some detail, but we're actually going to be as we know, drafting these guys. That'll count, right? That'll count. We send it right to Spielman. You've been sending all your mock drafts to Spielman, right? Via email?
Well, I mean, I have. I haven't heard much back from him. I just think maybe he's just too blown away by them to get back to me. You know,
family ties. Sure, yeah. You know, he's gonna take all the credit for your stuff.
Right. I just really want him to, you know, take notes. You know, that's really, I want to see it come out in the draft.
Yeah, he's just gonna look at the camera. This one's for you, Aaron. So obviously, I mean, it feels like two minimum at cornerback. Yeah, I mean, it really, really does.
I'm on the three bandwagon there. I mean, I know you and I, we've kind of parsed.
I did say minimum.
We parsed words about that, but I mean, I know where you are. You really want to see a veteran guy come in and play that other spot. And it's not that I don't want to see that. It's just
that's where we have to be.
Yeah, I just don't know how feasible that is. I mean, I hope it works out.
I could name 10 guys that I could probably start that are just sitting there with their legs up right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I figure, like, you got to have at least one starter and you got to replenish the depth. I mean, that's really the issue, is that depth, man. I mean, that cornerbacks and, you know, safety room too, depending on what happens with Harris, is just depleted. And you've got to do something about it. And I know we mentioned as well, if you go and draft all these three corners or four corners or two corners and they work out, you got to pay them all in 1 year. And that's, you know, you want to stagger picks coming in, but you just don't have that luxury this time around.
That's a good point. And the funny part about it is the number one guy or the first pick guy could be maybe the second rounder fucking is a better player than him. You know, like, so now you're paying the number one who can't play yet, but then you're going to have to really pay the other one. That is a good point, though, bringing too many top-level guys in. Or not, I say top level, but first 50 picks or whatever. You're right. And then all of a sudden they're all due and you're like, huh, well, it looks like we're going to get some picks. But as far as two minimum, I think is you have to get two. Anybody that says we shouldn't be picking, you know, less than or two at least is just, come on, dude. What are you just going to go in there with one? You're going to fill it with a bunch of old veterans and that's it? You're going to rely on, much like your post in the Vikings group, but you're just going to rely on what we got there? Like, nah, we got to mix it all up. But, you know, the TCU guy, the Gladney guy stands out as someone that might be there. C.J. Henderson is the guy that's gone every which way that could fall, could not fall. Same with A.J. Terrell. It seems like he's going to be there. Jalen Johnson, I think, would be there. What are some guys that kind of stand out to you? As far as, you know, we could actually get with the 22nd and so on and so forth.
Well, I guess, you know, start it off, you want to say, well, where do you need it? We need a nickel. We need a nickel badly. What we see on the roster at this time, we're nickel free, so to speak. So I will start with that. There's a couple guys I like. Now, you and I, we've batted around the idea of taking Winfield maybe at 22 or 25 and playing him at the nickel corner. I was really for that. Up until I started, you know, just taking a look at, you know, maybe he's better off at free safety. So, you know, he's a guy possibly you could you know, move some things around, either play him at free safety or at nickel corner. Nonetheless, you're going to have to get him with a first round pick. He's really been going up the boards lately, even more than he had before. There's a kid out of UCLA, Darnay Holmes, who's about 5'10", really good cover corner, played the nickel there, really good, probably a third round guy, maybe low second you could maybe get a hold of. And then a really deep guy in the draft would be Isang Bassi out of Wake Forest, another kid. He's 5'9", got good cover skills, comes up, plays the run well, would be a good nickel corner. I think you're going to look for one of those guys, a good nickel-sized guy, and then you're going to want an outside guy, 6'1", 6'2", you know, the guys that Zimmer seems to like on the outside. And for guys like that, I mean, yeah, Henderson's probably not going to make it unless you make a move to get him, but I think he's probably my favorite one. I like him a little more, even more than Okuda.
A lot of people there. All over the place with Fulton, too, from LSU. I see him going first, but I also see him going later. In some of these mock drafts, you see him in the second round, and you're like, I mean, if we can get him in the second round, he's a damn good player. Another guy that stands out to me is Trajan Bandy, and I know him just because of Miami Hurricane. He played the nickel as a freshman, and he's just an aggressive player. He fits Zim to a T. That's another guy that I kind of had my eyes on. And Arnett from Ohio State is kind of all across the board, too, on these mock drafts. But he's a guy that played a lot of talented wide receivers, you know. And another thing is, well, cornerbacks, if you look at the different leagues, right, conferences, the Big 12 is weird because you got to figure there's some talented cornerbacks in there. But the reason why I bring it up is because they are a fucking pass-happy league, and they score a ton of points in the Big 12. And you look at the defense and you go, these fucking defenses suck. Yeah, it's probably certain parts of the defense. A lot of it is if you're in a throw-first fucking league that puts up a bunch of points, you're probably going to have to skew to getting that extra wide receiver or getting that extra stud quarterback because you got to keep up with the system with the league and whatnot. But a lot of times on that defensive line of corners, there's still some really solid corners there. And I see a lot of experts going, you know, there's some Big 12 guys out there. A lot of them talk about that TCU guy that you should probably jump on because it's a passing league. Get a guy who gets targeted, you know, 18 times in a normal game or whatever. It's plentiful. That's what we do know.
A couple of those second round guys you were talking about, Cam Dantzler is one of them. And he's slight. Now, he's a skinny kid. He'd have to put some weight on, but he's 6'2", covers well. And then maybe another second-round kid. You know, you mentioned Jalen Johnson, but what about Bryce Hall out of Virginia? He's also 6'1", big corner.
They corners there, too.
Yeah, they really do. And then, you know, maybe a lower-round guy would be somebody like Harrison Hand out of Temple, 6'1", fast, big corner, seems to cover well. So there's going to be guys there late and early. But like you said, if you're looking for a starter – you know, you're going to want to get that, you know, first round, early second round type of talent and maybe throw them to the wolves and see what happens. Because, you know, one way or the other, come injury or come just the way camp folds out, you're probably going to have a rookie playing significant minutes at that cornerback position this season.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we're going to have to throw them to the wolves this year. There's just no way around it, dude. Let's focus in on O-tackle since there is so much depth at wide receiver. This is one of those, you know, we talked about runs. Time and time again, you do these mock drafts and the fucking O-tackles just run off by like the top 15 picks, top 18 picks it seems. You know, as far as plug and play, that's not that easy. Even the guy, you know, that we got O'Neal, didn't really play a whole lot as a rookie, but then played really good his second year. You can't just go off of, well, you know, Reef could be there. Maybe we'll make this trade. Obviously, that changes, and maybe as we get closer next year when we do that mock draft, we'll have a different viewpoint, and the trade will happen. I'm assuming the trade now feels like a lot of these trades are going to be actually on because of leverage and whatnot. If they're not made by now – Why would they get made tomorrow and the next day? Why wouldn't they just wait until that 10 minutes you got and see whose internet goes out? They're there as far as – I don't know how many guys we're going to have to be able to start at O-tackle that we're actually not going to – that'll just fall to us at 22 and 25. But, man, the guy from Boise State, the kid from Houston, Josh Jones. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you can develop, and in a year they could take over for then Riley. Maybe we cut him if he's not involved in this trade.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at, you know, right tackle, left tackle type of situation. I mean, are you going to try to move O'Neal over to the left side? If not, then you're going to probably want to, you know, get yourself in that sweepstakes for a left tackle. Otherwise, if you think you can move somebody, then you want to maybe go a right tackle and see. There's maybe Austin Jackson out of USC might fall in the second round if you can get up there, probably into the high stratosphere of the second round to get someone like that. He might be the one left over. But, you know, he's a 19-year-old kid, a lot of potential. So, I mean, he might even find his way into that first run of tackles. You know, there's Jack Driscoll out of Auburn. We shy away from a little
he's
bit.
He's 19?
I mean,
how is that legal? He's in the draft.
He's like 19 or 20. He's very young.
Yeah, he's
got to
be 20 because he's got to be turned to 21 by a certain date.
Yeah, he's just very young, I guess, and younger than the other tackles. He's the youngest tackle available. And there's a Sadiq Charles out of LSU who's also probably going to be third round, maybe second round, low second round type of guy who's obviously played, you know, high pressure games this season and had a great quarterback behind him and played on good offensive line. I think that whole offensive line, at least three parts of them, are going to get drafted. So he's another guy you want to look at. And then you go lower, you know, like I mentioned Driscoll earlier. There's the kid out of Indiana who some of them will push him to guard, Simoniak, I think is his name, who really played well for Indiana. I think he's kind of projected as a guard but could play the tackle position. So there's guys out there that can come in, but you're right. It's like, are you going to look for a guy 2 years down the road or are you going to look for a guy tomorrow? If you look for a guy tomorrow on the right or the left side, I think you're going to have to go first round, high second round. And some of the names you mentioned, like Ezra Cleveland would be a good guy there. And I think what you do is, you know, Chris, you bring in bodies and you just put them through camp and see what you get out of it. I mean, you can't really project much until you get them in there and see who plays well with who. And that's the thing about the offensive line, man, is it's a dance, man, and they got to be able to play together. And you don't know that until you see it. So I guess you just draft on, you know, size, weight, strength, you know, and some tape, I guess. This is the way you look at it.
Yeah, mostly tape, like you said, even before we got in here. I mean, we're gonna see who's got the best eyes, you know, really. We're going to see who the scouts and the teams who have the best eyes as far as tape. And especially even, I'm not even talking about the first, you know, 50 picks, just in general. And it's one thing, you know, when you're talking to someone on Skype and you don't know them, you know, you can get body, you can get, you know, behavior, you can get their body, you can see their body, you can notice certain stuff. But there is something about, you know, being in person and also being able to work them out in person or whatever, or taking a look at that knee in person and whatnot with your own doctors that you 100% trust and you can see both sides of it. That one guy, that one scout who said, you know, you don't even get a chance to smell these guys. I can't even smell them. I'm like, oh my God, this guy. First of all, I want to have a conversation, a beer with this guy in general. But that shit's funny. He literally said, you don't get a chance to smell them. You know, I like to smell these guys. Sometimes just talent just reeks. So, you know, backup filling behind that could, you know, in a year that could be ready, much like maybe one of these guards that we have on the squad, or that we hope that we have on the squad that could fill in a guard. Now, wide receiver is just, we could spend a whole show on wide receiver, but, you know, we're not going to get the top tier guy. And I don't really, I shouldn't even say the top tier guy. What people are saying and what these mock drafts are showing in the rankings of top tier guys. But you got a guy like Higgins that I know you love, right? Even Mims, who has, you know, some short, you know, some guys that you're like, Mims, Pittman. I think we talked about how we can find, You got chain movers. You got a guy that can go deep vertical and get up for it. You got a guy that can just, you know, be that middle ground guy. You got guys that are better at just jumping for the ball. And we need, shit, we've been needing one of those for how long? Since Sidney Rice. And by the way, I just watched that 2009 game against the Packers when we had Brett Favre, and there was that moment. Yeah, you just forget how damn good that team was sometimes. But there was that moment where there's about 14 seconds to throw a ball, and he's just waiting and waiting and just dart to him. But, yeah, Sidney Rice is a guy that we've needed for a while. But, man, I'm not really worried about getting one of these top-tier guys. You know, the Alabama guys are interesting, the two of them, right? But, God, when you're so deep, right, like LSU, Alabama, and then probably, which is strange to say normally, but probably Minnesota had the best wide receiver corps. But when you look at it, you go, man, how great are these guys considering what they're surrounded by just in college? And it'll be interesting to see. And it goes, it matters what system they go into and what quarterback and in the match and the fit there, of course. But it will be interesting to see who has better careers. Which Alabama guy who has a better career? They both could be really good. But, man, it's deep, dude, all the way to the fifth and sixth round.
It is deep. And, you know, I've been watching so much of it that I just – it's really hard sometimes to just separate. And you got to look at, you know, level of competition, like you said, and those Bama kids, man. There's a kid on Bama right now who's better than both of them. So you just go, okay, well – yeah, he's a great route runner. A kid like, you know, Jefferson, who's, like you said, I see him as a chain mover, Justin Jefferson. Great player, but, you know, I don't see him as an electrifying type of guy in the league. It could be wrong, have been wrong, but, so getting that top tier is going to be tough. Even at 22 could be tough. I think there might be somebody there projection wise. I mean, you never know how it really shakes out, but someone like T. Higgins might make it down there. And he's probably my favorite one in the class, just 6'4", fast, great hands, great, like, jump ball player. Just,
not
he's got it all.
Not
stiff at all.
That's the problem with those 6'4 dudes, you know?
Yeah, been in big games, played with a great quarterback. He's just got everything going for him. And if we don't take him, we got to make sure the Packers don't, because he's perfect for Rodgers. He's great with the back shoulder ball.
Oh.
I mean, he just – gotta keep them away from them.
Knock on wood.
And then, you know, there's guys later in the draft, same type of body frame, same type of player, Antonio Golden Gandy or Gandy Golden. This guy, 6'4", again, played at Liberty, small school, but if you watch any film on him, just look at his highlights. Looks like T. Higgins, 6'4", rangy guy, tall.
Yeah.
You know, now, you got to know these GMs know, so I don't think he'll make it down to where he's projected right now, just because I see him and I go, this is not a fourth round player. This is a, you know, even though the level of competition isn't that great, you can see him dominate that competition, which is what you want to see if he's going to be at a small school. And then you want to get a slot guy maybe, for a lower round slot guy, maybe third, fourth round, James Proche out of SMU. If you've seen him, that's Stephon Diggs right there. That's the same guy. As far as I can see, maybe different attitude, maybe different, you know, vibe to him. But as far as on the field, that's another Diggs right there. So there's a couple guys in the later rounds that maybe you want to wait, depending on what you do, if you get ODB or not. And then you got the top rung guys. I mean, if you had to pick, Chris, between what the projected top three or five guys, I mean, let's just say it's, that two Alabama kids, Jefferson, and then, you know, whoever else is in that group, I mean, who do you pick out of that?
Yeah, probably Higgins would be in that group, I'd assume.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb I like a lot. I think he's probably.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's in that group for sure.
But I think he's the number one guy as far as I'm concerned. Like, that guy's got – he's a little slight. That's my only thing on him is he's, you know, he needs to put weight on, or maybe he plays it this way, but he's kind of got it all, man, and he's tough.
He's got the football speed. You know, the quickness. He can fucking make you miss so much. Another guy, Chase Claypool, which is just a role player. Guy that can, hey, red zone, go right there. I mean, he's a huge red zone threat. And he ran a 4.42, I think. Dude jumps 40 and a half inch vert with that 6'4". The guy has soft-ass hands. And that's one of those things that he's not going to last in the second round, obviously, like maybe before the combine he may have. But some of these guys have just jumped up all of a sudden. Mims, too, I'd put in that just because of that speed. Like, oh, and he can run? Rieger, I sent you that thing about Rieger, right?
Yeah.
From TCU. That might be a guy that maybe all the numbers and the, you know, all that, but the look of him or whatever. Oh, is he a quick little guy? Is he this? Is he that? You know, that stat that shows, that really throws out a lot to me, that he saw 61% of his targets were catchable passes. That ranked 118th out of 120, meaning his quarterback's trash or the system. They rely on defense and running the ball at TCU, but that guy could just blow up out of nowhere, and he could be an early second rounder. He could be, I don't know. He might be even a late first rounder. I like him a lot.
I do, too. I haven't seen a lot of him just because I've been watching the bigger tall guys. I feel like we're gonna run this two-receiver set. I kind of want a tall receiver to go with Thielen and maybe somebody else as a slot guy. But, yeah, Rieger's got it. I think that, you know, he's may translate to a chain mover. I know he's got some juice, but it just, to me, I see him as a chain mover. But, yeah, I mean, I really like him, and I wouldn't be disappointed with him in the second round or maybe even the third. He won't make it to the third. I mean, people really like him. What do you think about Mims? Now, everybody's big on Mims, but I keep looking at all these former Baylor receivers who don't do well at all in the league, and I just can't help but think that Mims might be that same case.
Maybe, but it's a different system now at Baylor than it was prior. And that dude got hired for Carolina, actually. So it was a different system than a lot of those guys came out, because Coleman stands out as one huge one, Corey Coleman. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because remember 2016, we had this deep-ass draft and four guys in the first round, and, you know, the best dude was in the second round, Thomas. You know what I mean? So I like him. I like Mims a lot. I think definitely a guy that, you know, is a deep vertical guy as well. He's got that speed. Got great hands, I think. I put him close. I put him pretty close to the other to the guy we were just talking about, Higgins. I put him pretty close to him, actually. And also that dude from Colorado, as far as red zone threat, much like that Notre Dame dude, that Chenault Jr. or whatever, that guy. We can't forget to mention him, but I like Mims. I do like Mims. To me, both these guys have that Moss feel to them. He's a little faster than Higgins, but I'd be happy with both those. I can't sit there and say that I've watched every one of his games, every play. You know, that's the problem with some of these draft stuff, where you're like, I like when the Vikings get him, then I'll really analyze the tape even more. It's tough because you see some tape, but, you know, until you watch the 80 plays he played on, it's tough to separate, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about a little quickly, too. We know we talked earlier about how he didn't run and he didn't do any exercises, but he might have got doctors and interviews at the combine. Tyler Johnson out of the U. I see him all over the place, man. I see him all as low as a sixth-round projection up to, like, a low second-round projection. He's kind of been moving up lately in the projections. And, you know, compare him to what else is out there. And I think he's kind of in the middle of the pack of some great receivers. And, you know, getting a judge on him as far as at the NFL level, it's really hard to kind of tell. Now, of course, we wish the best for him and hope that he's an all-pro every year, but – you know, realistically, is he a second, maybe third round guy, or are we talking about maybe fourth, fifth round with him?
That's a good question, because I actually do think he's more like lower second into the third, because he play a lot in the slot. You know, a lot of people kind of get the slot or the chain mover. We're not saying that he's only going to catch the ball, you know, catch a little 8-yard, you know, slants and shit like that. But, I mean, he will do that, but he'll break the tackle and go. And so it's weird. He's kind of in the slot, but he's not. His body doesn't tell you he's a slot. You know what I mean? And obviously the guy, you throw the ball in his direction, besides against Iowa, well, on fourth down, we'll forget about that one momentarily. But the guy catches pretty much anything. He put on a show pretty much the last 2 years, but, man, that Auburn game. Yeah, I'd say somewhere I still think deep second, to be honest with you, into the third, maybe, like you said, even maybe fourth. But he's a damn good player. That's why I'm not worried about wide receiver, because he would fit a role for us. I think we could both agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he really would. And I think I see him as – I think we're pretty much in lockstep there. I think he's a slot guy in the NFL. I think somewhat successful. I think he goes – I think he needs a team that's a three wide receiver set kind of guy, maybe hide him a little bit in there. But, I mean, yeah, Vikings pick him up. I wouldn't be at all disappointed with that. So we could go on with receivers all day because there's just so many. And it's legit, man. I don't think that we're talking about maybe the 16 draft where there's supposed to be a lot of guys and then maybe two or three came out of it. I mean, I think this is a solid set of wide receivers and deep. So we're talking 12, 15 guys that may play for a while in the league. Hopefully.
Like Jeff Thompson and KJ Hill and some of these guys that – some of these guys rank them as, like, way deep, you know. And you're just like, wow, dude, that guy could, that Gabriel Davis from UCF, he could land a role. I'm not saying 100 balls, but shit, 35 catches is pretty good too if they're big explosive plays, you know, or third downs or whatever.
All right, let's move on. Let's look at the defensive line, Chris. We did pick up the nose tackle. Do we need another, you know, three technique, a guy on the line? I know we're going to need somebody at the end. Yeah, where is that priority wise? And, maybe who's available? I mean, I'm thinking Odenigbo could probably fill that other spot on the end,
right?
But then you're going to have depth under that. And do we need, I guess another, you know, defensive tackle wouldn't be a terrible idea, but if there's a guy there in the first, do you take him? If there's a guy there in the second, do you take him? Where do you prioritize a defensive tackle considering the fact that we signed that nose tackle?
Yeah. And Johnson has another year on his contract. In a little depth, we'll find out how good it is. Yeah, on the surface, it does feel like the edge would be in the first three rounds, maybe an edge. But, you know, something may fall. Something may fall. You never know. Either way, I like how you put it. We're going to need depth on both positions. We feel like we got the starters, but we could sneak in a guy who could play maybe split time with an edge. You know what I mean? So I think – I'm not worried about we got to get this guy or, you know, Rashad Lawrence is a guy we talked about off air. I think there's enough depth there that we can just pick up, you know, something in there. But, yeah, I think it's still a priority. It's definitely the second priority on defense. You know, safety, it feels okay unless we you know, trade Harris, then we got to get something there. But, yeah, I think that's still important, both those positions. And if we're going to go first, it matters how this thing shakes out, obviously. But first 50 picks, I'd say an edge, you know. But if there's an edge run, then all of a sudden I'm saying let's just get the best defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much in agreement with you on that. I think we're both kind of – both safety and defensive line, it's a depth thing. You've got to restock the depth in that and get some young players that are coming up. And there's going to be plenty there. You did mention Rashad Lawrence. I like him. I've seen him. And he's, you know, again, projected that third, fourth round type of guy. But from what I see, I mean, I would not be surprised to see him go in the second. And he's just got a motor that doesn't stop. He's a big kid with a belly. He can move. He's fantastic from what I've seen. And then on the edge, you know, there's going to be guys, but then, you know, that's, again, it's the expensive top-end guys. Are you going to try to get a project a little bit later? And, you know, high-end guys like Curtis Weaver, now he's the old-fashioned defensive end with a 270, you know, 6'5 type of guy to go up on the other side of Daniil. But then, you know, those guys like Khalid Kareem out of Notre Dame, who's also quick, maybe a little bit like Everson when he was young. And then, excuse me, like there's a kid out of NDSU, Derek Tuska. Now, I didn't hear anything about him. I never watched NDSU games. And I just kept coming up in my simulations. I'm like, oh, well, I'll try to find something on this guy. And I looked at some highlights, and he seems to be pretty legit. He's a lot quicker than Coughlin was. So if you compare him to Carter Coughlin, I think he's a better player than Coughlin was at the U. And Coughlin will go in this draft as well. But this Tuska kid is pretty impressive. You can pick him up in the later round. He might be the kind of guy that, like, say, you don't, you know, it doesn't cost you a lot in the beginning, but could end up paying off quite a bit later on.
Yeah, Nick Cole as well from Auburn. I like him. Cole. And just a biased, not because I want a Miami player, but because you end up seeing a lot of their games. So it does help you that Jonathan Garvin, a little undersized, could put in some strength. But mid to late, I like those guys. Trevor Hill actually transferred over from Virginia Tech and did pretty good as well as a fifth-year transfer type guy. But, yeah, I mean, there's a couple, you know, that Iowa Espinosa or whatever, that guy has fallen once in a while. That guy falls. If he's there in 22nd or 25th, would you pick him? You go, huh. God, I probably want to pick a corner over him, but if he falls, shit, that looks like a pretty damn good player. So, and, you know, obviously a lot of this stuff has to do with how it plays out, but that's part of it, right?
Sorry, I had to unmute, but yeah, I mean, it does matter how it all falls out. And I really think that these projections that are coming from, you know, guys sitting at a desk aren't going to be the same projections as you're going to see on NFL big boards, and it's going to make you go, this guy was projected to go here, but, you know, scouts are going to see something completely different. So you can only just go off what you see draft day. But I guess maybe last question, I guess, on all this, man, we talked about the safety position and with Harris or without Harris. And obviously, you know, you'd like to see something happen with Harris to keep him around, but it's beginning to look less likely as the days go by that he'll probably get moved on, which means now you have a need, an immediate need at safety. And maybe some depth need because you lost Jayron Kearse as well. I mean, just decimated that defensive back room. So now we're looking at
Jesus.
So, I mean, if there's one player that I want out of this draft, and whether you got to move to get him or do whatever, I want Winfield Jr. He's not my favorite, you know, player in need and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm a homer. I'm a little bit of a homer. I'm not going to deny that, but be nice to have him around. But
it doesn't have to be in the first round, you know, or with the 22nd pick, I should say. Because I think he'll be – just because of his injury concerns, he, you know, there's a decent chance still that he may, you know, drop out of the first round.
It's like, I'm not going to worry about where you play him. Just get him, and you'll figure it out. I think he's the kind of the kid that can play – he can play that free safety. He can be a little bit of a joker and go all over the place. He's great tackler, great in coverage. You know, you worry about the injuries a little, but, you know, how many more knees does he have to mess up? I mean, he's messed them up both times. I think he's pretty good health-wise. And the way he's moving up boards, you've got to think that his medicals are pretty good. No one's really shying away from him. And so I just keep hearing great things about
that. And what he did that year moved him up. You know, I think that's the only reason why he's not a for sure number one. Is his leg and knee injuries. The problem with this knee injury is they were like, you're done for the season. You know, so that does play in your mind. Like, no, you're done, dude. You're not coming back this season. That happened two times. And then a third season, he barely even, you know, I don't know. I'm a little shaky on that part.
Yeah, that's my drawback on him as well. Yeah, it's not his size that really bothers me. It's more just the injury, and we're more aware of it because we got to see it and deal with it for a couple of seasons at the U. And so, you know, he's just probably to me, you know, I think I would do 22 with him if he's there, because I don't really, I mean, honestly, don't think he'll be there at 22. I think he's going to go top 17 probably. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But the way that I'm hearing the talk on him, I'm hearing people waking up to him. I just feel like he might not be around, and I'm not saying go, you know, spend capital and move up and grab him, but if we can come out of the draft with him, I'll be happy.
That's just a good way to put it, and really it comes down to, will he for sure be able to play the nickel? Because if he can, then I think, you know, top 15 for sure. I think if he goes top 15, whoever picks him thinks he can play the nickel too, you know, and not just free safety. Because safety is that high. Top 15, there's just not many of them. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times Delpit fell to you in your mock drafts? Like, probably too many times for how good of a player he could be, right?
Yeah. And I see Winfield is – you're right. It all comes down to whether he plays the nickel, because I think you're going to see a lot of different defensive schemes. And a scheme like Zimmer's actually fits him very well, because you can do so many things with him. but maybe a different defensive scheme. Maybe he has to be forced into a nickel or a free safety spot.
He just covers so much ground, dude. Oh my God. He does. He's not even in the shot. And all of a sudden, oh, it's a pick. It's Winfield. I just started screaming Winfield every time there was a pick because, well, it has to be. As long as he's on the field, he'll make the interception.
He really stands out when you watch him. Do you think he could play the nickel? I mean, can he play in spots?
That's right. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think so too. Next year, I don't know, but I think so. I would say yeah. I'd be leaning on that. I think he can.
Yeah, I lean there too. I don't know if I'd want him to do it as a full-time nickel player. But then again, I mean, I guess if I had him play the nickel, what do you think about him maybe taking some weight off? Maybe get to 185, 190 or something. I know he's a 205 right now, thick. But he's short,
so he's going to be thicker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You might want to keep that on if you're going to have him involved in the run game a lot.
Our safeties are on the line a lot, and that's what I love about him, dude, the nickel or safety, because we play so much nickel anyway. I love our system. You see Harrison all over the line. Obviously, Harris, too. That fits him perfectly. I can make it look like I'm doing this, but I'm back in position, or vice versa.
Yeah, so basically the two guys I want to see more than anything, I think just perfect fits for what the Vikings need to me are T. Higgins and Antoine Winfield Jr.
All right, sir, we're going to shut this puppy down. You got any last words before we, shut it down?
We got the old Instagram page. I'll go ahead and push that again. It's living.in.loserville podcast on Instagram. We got a few more followers. We'd like to get more and get some more comments flowing, but it's been fun so far. So yeah, check that out on Instagram.
And next week we'll be back early in the week. We're not going to do it the night before the draft. We're going to let you listen to it a little bit. I don't know exactly if it'll be Monday or whatever, but we are doing a mock draft. I'm going to do a regular straight-up one. He's going to be in GM mode. We're going to bounce it back and forth. And then we'll talk about some other scenarios probably at the top of that draft, probably trade scenarios and whatnot that have been thrown out there. And one of the trade scenarios that's out there right now, it's just like, sign me up. Where do I sign the paper? I want to do that right now. So we'll see. And who knows? Maybe by Monday one of these trades will be already popping off. Or maybe – Trent Williams will just be with a different team and we'll know. You know, we might have an outcome. It just doesn't feel like we're going to have it because it's all leverage and it's like, well, I'll see you in the draft. We'll see what you say in that 10-minute span, dickhead, you know, that type of thing. I really think that that's where they're at. But for speculation and just to know our needs for the mock draft, it would be nice if one of these trades would go through. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. We definitely want to – I don't think I said that at the top of the show. I've been saying that every time anyway. But especially during a time like this, stay as safe as possible. We're out of here. Skol Vikes. Peace.